Welcome to the Search Server Virtualization.com podcast on the storage considerations for virtualization. I'm site editor Colin Steele, and our guest today is Stephen Bigelow, senior technology writer. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
My pleasure, Colin.
Steve, virtualization has really changed the game for storage, hasn't it?
That's right. The purpose and goals of storage certainly stay the same, but virtualization is all about doing more with less, and this is putting some more strain on storage resources. Administrators need to pay more attention to the way that storage is selected and integrated into their environment.
Let's go over some of the most common questions about storage and virtualization. With all the storage options available, what's the best type for a virtual data center?
There's no wrong storage, and all of the established storage systems like iSCSI, NAS, and Fibre Channel will all work fine under virtualization. The challenge is performance and scalability. Storage traffic can be higher with virtualization, and there really are two contributing factors in this. First is the need for data protection. Virtual machines will usually be protected through regular snapshots. Second is the change in storage traffic and the corresponding stress on the infrastructure. Remember that a single server might host 10, 15, 20, or more virtual machines. Each VM generates a snapshot storage traffic and also has to contend with user data traffic for all of those virtual machines. This means one server can demand a lot more storage access than a traditional non-virtualized server. The best way to handle performance and scalability demands at the enterprise level is through a Fibre Channel SAN. There are also more entry-level Fibre Channel SAN options today for small or medium business. Still, the decision has to match the needs and the budget of each particular business. For example, an SMB with a low number of virtual machines on just a few servers may run fine with a NAS or iSCSI SAN.
And how does Fibre Channel over Ethernet fit into this?
I think FCOE is another suitable alternative for storage traffic in a small and mid-sized business, but passing Fibre Channel traffic on a LAN still carries the limitations found in Ethernet networks, the same limitations that iSCSI has to contend with. So the jury, I think, is still out on FCOE.
What about backups and disaster planning and the effects of virtualization on data protection?
The most important thing to understand here is that virtualization itself doesn't force any changes to storage. The need for storage and protecting your data will all be the same whether your enterprise is virtualized or not. We already talked about how storage types and architecture impact storage performance, and those factors also play into the backup and disaster recovery, but there are a few other considerations. First, plan for the right storage capacity. For example, virtual machines are basically files that are loaded onto a server from storage, so every virtual machine needs disk space. The virtual machines running on a server are also protected with periodic snapshots to save the machine's state, and those snapshots will all need disk space. And ultimately, those virtual machine images and their snapshots will need to be backed up and moved off-site. There has to be enough storage to hold all that additional content, and you'll need the LAN and WAN bandwidth to move all of that data to or from remote storage. It's also important for backup and replication tools to support the virtual environment. A lot of classical backup tools depend on specific hardware, like a particular NAS or a specific type of tape drive. In a virtual environment, the hardware is really moot, so use backup and replication tools that are virtualization aware and will move your data regardless of the storage. Of course, this causes some changes to the backup and DR scheme. Anytime you make changes to the backup or DR posture, whether it's adding storage hardware or changing software tools, test the implementation thoroughly and update the documentation or procedures that technicians are going to have to follow.
So is it more important to test backups and DR with virtualization?
The basic premise is the same. Backups and DR are really useless if you can't recover the data that's being protected. The challenge is that virtualization increases the traffic to each server, and this can complicate recovery. Instead of recovering one application to one server, you might need to recover dozens of workloads to the same single server. Every workload that stands up will consume some of the bandwidth at that server, and that'll slow the recovery of the next virtual machine on that server. So recovery can actually slow down as the server loads up. This means testing is vital. It'll point out any recovery problems, and it'll help you decide which critical workloads need to be recovered first. The great part about virtualization is that recovery can be tested on any server. Unlike traditional backup or DR testing, you don't need to recover to the same hardware and risk the disruptions to the production environment. Instead, recover to any available spare server in a lab environment. This allows recovery testing to be performed more regularly, and it makes it a lot easier to train IT staff in proper recovery procedures.
Does virtualization affect storage availability at all?
Virtualization doesn't directly affect storage availability. It's still really a matter of selecting reliable storage types and creating redundant pathways between storage and the servers that are using that storage. In this case, the physical servers are hosting numerous virtual machines. However, it's clear that storage availability will affect the availability of your virtual machines. For example, if a fiber channel storage array goes down or a fiber channel switch fails, it might be impossible for all of the virtual machines to access application data. So storage disruptions can possibly impact many more workloads at the same time than a classical non-virtualized data center. The best way to ensure storage availability is to apply principles of resiliency to the storage system design and balance the workloads between virtualized servers. Test the resiliency regularly, just as you would with backup or DR testing. Unplug a SAN cable, power down a redundant switch, make sure that the storage is still accessible to the virtual servers.
And finally, what are the specific features that storage systems should support in virtual environments?
The goal here is to look for features in the storage subsystems that are natively supported by the virtualization platform. Two major features that come to mind are thin provisioning and data deduplication. Virtualization platforms like VMware and Hyper-V both utilize these features, and they can dramatically improve your storage efficiency. Thin provisioning is another term for over-provisioning, or assigning more storage capacity to a LUN than there is disk space available. For example, you can create a 500 megabyte LUN for an application, but only put 100 megabytes of real disk space into it, and then add more disk space as the application needs it. That way, you don't tie up all of the disk space until the application is really using it. Data deduplication is a means of conserving storage space by eliminating redundant files, blocks, or bytes. In a nutshell, new content is compared against the existing content already in storage. If the new content is already present, such as an identical file or an identical part of a file, that new content is not stored on disk again. There's one other wrinkle. A new storage system should support the migration features in the virtualization platform. As an example, it might not be possible for a virtualization engine to migrate virtual machines from Fibre Channel to iSCSI to NFS, and this might limit your choice of storage systems. But other virtualization platforms like VMware vSphere 4, for example, can exchange virtual machine images across all three storage protocols, and that can really ease your choice of new storage systems.
Stephen Bigelow, Senior Technology Writer, thanks for your time.
Anytime, Colin.
And thanks for listening to this podcast.